I'm going to have you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 tonight. Now, when you have in your mind certain things that certain chapters, entail. So you think John 3, I think about being born again, John, or 2 Corinthians 6, I immediately think that's the separation chapter. Well, that is true. There is something I want you to see here, and I don't know if you're like me or not, but there are places in the Bible, you read the Bible, and, sometimes you'll come to a section, it's not like it's a humongous mystery, it's not like you miss everything in it, but for a 2 or 3 verse section sometimes, there's kind of a gray area where you say, well, I know what it's talking about, and kind of go on without really stopping to think about it too much. Well, there's a section like that in this chapter, and I wonder if you've ever stopped and considered the wording and maybe what that entails. Go down to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same I speak, as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Let's bow our heads there and pray. Father, once again, we come to you tonight. I appreciate these fellows filling this morning and give me kind of a morning off to recover a little bit from the last few days. It's good to be back tonight. We heard good preaching this morning, good teaching, and we certainly have been blessed with the post-revival stuff and during revival. So, Father, we pray here tonight you might continue to deal with our hearts about what we need to be hearing and understanding about ourselves and about Thee. Father, give us grace and power to be able to do something with what we hear, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I read there, several words in here that we don't use too much, at least in the frame they're used here. For instance, when somebody talks about an enlarged heart, usually they're talking about a physical condition, right? Verse 11, our heart is enlarged. Plainly, that's not what Paul is talking about. Verse 12, ye are not straitened in us, you're straitened in your own bowels. Plainly, this is not just a straight line. It's being closed in, straightened that way. We'll talk more about it in a minute. And you're straitened in your own bowels. Plainly, what we use as bowels today, the Bible uses is different. This is about in your own hearts and reins, you're straitened in yourselves in a way that Paul's not. He says, now I'm my heart is enlarged for you. So you got enlarged, you got bowels, you've got straightened. We need to talk about that. Now look, the Corinthians live in a Grecian city. Corinth is a Grecian city in the Roman Empire in that day. These are first generation Christians that Paul's writing to. Sometimes I think even today we lose track a little bit of just how much, say somebody, take a Spurgeon, not a Charles Spurgeon, but a David Spurgeon. You all know his testimony, the biker, the evangelist. And just, after he got saved, just what a profound culture change it would have been for him to come out from the bikers and walk into an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing church and not only get saved, he got saved in jail, but not only get saved, but start growing there. What a fundamental culture change that would be, right? David Spurgeon lived all his life in an America that was fundamentally founded on the Bible. I mean, in David Spurgeon's America, there would have always been a segment of people that understood that adultery was wrong, that stealing was wrong, and that illegal drugs were wrong, right? He would have understood that. I question whether somebody in Corinth would have. Corinth was a town where when the first generation Christians arose after the gospel reached Corinth, there would have been, nobody would have been going to football games for 20 years seeing John 3:16 in the end zone, right? You would have grown up in a culture with naked statues all over the place. Nobody would have thought twice about what some people consider soft porn, whatever. But They would have just been acclimated to it. None of those things would have rung a bell for anybody. So you can imagine, when it came time for the Corinthians to grow beyond salvation, just what kind of septic system would have been involved with that. These guys were reprimanded and back in 1 Corinthians, you know, chapter 3 and 4 for their carnality, their being babies. By the time you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, you've got a guy who's being reprimanded and basically churched because he's committing incest with his father's wife. I mean, these are profoundly immoral things, right? These guys are reprimanded in 1 Corinthians 10 for their idolatry, their witchcraft, that sort of thing. And the list just goes on and on. Corinth had all kinds of problems. The reason they had all kinds of problems is because they had no scriptural foundational basis whatsoever until they got saved, right? So I was thinking about that a little bit. And Paul's answer to this, he says, okay, you guys are saved and you've still got problems. Plainly, you get to 2 Corinthians 7. He's still dealing with the repentance issue. You guys have problems. His answer, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open to you. Our heart is enlarged. Notice, ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. I'd like you to think about that for a minute. And I will, for the sake of clarity, go to Webster's for the straitened part. It's not just a straight, narrow place. But being straightened is a narrow circuit. It's straightened by a foe. It is confining. It is contracting. It means to distress, to perplex, to press into poverty or some other necessity. In other words, these guys aren't growing. They are fighting the bit a little bit because here comes Paul along with the Lord's Word. And now they have entirely new rules to live by. They're in this church. They're supposed to be governed by an entirely different set of rules, regulations, and boundaries besides the culture they've grown up in. And they're fighting that thing a little bit. They are straitened by it. They're confined by it. And they kind of resent it. And they're going, I don't want to do that. You know, kind of like that thing. You get a two-year-old kid, and if he doesn't want to eat his lima beans, it's kind of hard to make him swallow them. Right? He is straitened by the lima bean rule. Understand? Now, Paul says this. He said, look, our mouth, verse 11, is open to you. He says, I'm talking to you, I'm preaching to you, I'm teaching to you. Our heart is enlarged. I am doing the best I can to get you to get it. Ye are not straitened in us. You're not confined by us. It's not our problem. But ye are straitened by your own bowels. Your own heart, your own reins are your problem. Your confinement is not the Word of God. Your confinement is not the rules that I make, and your confinement is your own heart. Right? And so he says, verse 13, now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. He said, look, I had to grow into this too. I am enlarged. My heart is enlarged. I had to be enlarged. I had to grow after I got saved into being the apostle of the Gentiles. The Lord took me along. He blinded me. He baptized me and healed me, at least in part. And I had to have all these revelations. I had to grow each step of the way. I wasn't exactly the biblical evangelist when God found me. I had to be enlarged. Got news for you. You Corinthians are going to have to be enlarged too. The title of this message is found in verse 13, be ye also enlarged, all right? And basically, this thread goes not only down into separation in verse 14, 15, 16, 17, but goes backwards all the way into chapter 5, where Paul again is talking down in verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. You Corinthians that have gotten saved, you're now new creatures in Christ. You're in this church, you're a new creature in Christ. Furthermore, verse 18, and all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, hath given to us this ministry of reconciliation. Not only is this Paul's ministry, but this is also the Corinthians' ministry. They are priests unto God, correct? They've been made kings and priests. There's a priesthood of believers. these Corinthians' responsibility was to be in the ministry as well as Paul was in the ministry, right? So he keeps on going here and finally gets down to verse 21. For he hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, where I'm coming from with this tonight is that the Corinthians have a fundamental problem. It's a problem that we see, you know, here in America these days. We have some new converts that are not all that thrilled about coming and getting discipled and coming to church and making the commitment to really changing their lives, right? You've seen all that many times. Well, he said, look, that's the Corinthians' problem. God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. These Corinthians have received the grace of God. By faith they've trusted Christ as their Savior. Good. Well, 6:1. We then, as workers together with him, it's not just Paul, it's not just the rest of the apostles, but also these Corinthians in this Christian body, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Now that's an interesting phrase there, because this indicates if he's writing to Christians, if he's writing to Corinthians that are saved, he's saying you guys can still receive the grace of God in vain. In other words, for the umpteenth time, God is not just interested in saving your soul. Right? He is interested in you growing after you get saved and getting some things squared away and straightened out. He says, be ye also enlarged. You're not straightened in us. You are straightened in your own bowels. Okay? So he says, be ye also enlarged. So where I'm coming from with this, folks, is that Paul is begging these folks to not stop with the grace of God and salvation. He's begging them to grow forward. Okay? So back again to verse 11. Let me read this again, and then there's some connections here that I'd like to point out to you. I saw something here that I hadn't really noticed before. Pretty simple stuff, really. But he says, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open to you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us. We are not confining you. We are not holding you back. Frankly, it's not our fault. Ye are straitened in your own bowels. What confinement you feel, what imprisonment you feel, your, Brother Grissom's message this morning, your defeats in some regard that you feel, it's not us, it's you. Right? Verse 13, now for a recompense in the same I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Now, that is all connected with what happened back in chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. And notice where this goes. Chapter 6, verse 1. We then as workers together with him beseech you, Corinthians, also, that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted and in the day of salvation. Have I succored thee? Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Again, he's saying, you Corinthians that are saved, you're in the ministry just like us. You're in the body of Christ. God has a place for you in the ministry. Well, that being the case, giving then, you're to give no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things, approving ourselves, not just ourselves, me, Paul, and Silvanus, or whoever it was with him at the time. He says, but in all things, approving ourselves, that is, we folks in the body of Christ who now have a ministry and are ambassadors for Christ, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, afflictions, in necessities and distresses. Now with that, the title of the message is Be Ye Also Enlarged, right? You got good preaching this morning on the fact that you can't be offended yourself. Your heart is your own responsibility. Brother Grissom preached about, you know, defeat. There's some times that you get, you know, wailed on pretty good and you have to maybe retreat, back off, and retool, right? Refurbish. And that's all fine. That's all good. So you get down here and he says, look, be ye also enlarged. You need to grow. I, Paul, had to grow. I had to be enlarged. I had to grow into this position. I had to grow spiritually. I am enlarged. Our heart is enlarged for you. You're not straitened by us. You're not confined by us. You are confined by you. You are your problem. Right? And he says, be ye also enlarged. Okay? In what? Well, first of all, be ye also enlarged with regard to your testimony. Look in verse 3. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Don't forget, you are as much a priest unto God as I am. Right? You are called to be enlarged that the ministry be not blamed. You see, problem is today you live in a country and a Christianity where folks are not very careful with their testimonies. You know that. We've probably all had our moments of, lack of vigilance where we weren't very careful with our testimonies. The problem is people tend to think, well, you know, if I go get caught parking at the liquor store getting a case of beer that I'm going to drink over the next 3 weeks, if somebody sees me, it really only hurts my testimony. And that's not true. That's not true. It says there in this verse, it says, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. You see, the ministry gets blamed. People do things, they think it only hurts them. It doesn't just hurt them, it hurts the ministry. If somebody that's a known Christian, I knew a guy in Pensacola who had the bumper stickers on the car, and about once a week somebody would see him parked at the bar with the bumper stickers still on the car. You could at least remove the bumper stickers, I would think. Because it's not just his testimony. It's the ministry being blamed. Look, if you're beating your wife, if you and your wife are overheard cursing and swearing and fighting like cats and dogs, you would think, well, my neighbors will just hear me and they'll just think it's just us. But no, it takes about 3 nanoseconds before somebody says, don't those people go to that Baptist church with the rub? All Baptists, before you know it, the ministry does get blamed. I got news for you, whether you like it or not, your testimony is connected with the ministry that you're in. Right? The ministry does get blamed. They blame us for things that we don't do. They say that we beat our children. They say that we hate, we criticize, we this, we that, we the other. Okay, that's not even true. But what happens if you're lazy at work? What happens if your wife and you, or your husband and you, can't even get along at home for 2 days straight without the neighbors hearing you hollering at each other? Right? I got news for you. It's not just your testimony. The ministry is blamed. And with regard to that, he says, look, we're supposed to approve ourselves as ministers of God. We are all priests unto God. We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Paul said, look, I had to be enlarged. I had to grow into being what I am. The Lord took me from being a lost Jewish Roman citizen who hated Christians, and he took me all the way over to blindness and a place where I had to go have somebody come, baptize me and heal me. And each step along the way, I had to grow. I had to grow really fast. I got news for you. I've been enlarged. It's time for you to be enlarged too. The only person you're straitened by, it's not me, it's you. Right? You need to grow in your testimony. You said, well, I'll never be a pastor. I'm not a deacon. So, you know, the deacons and pastors are held to a pretty high standard. Well, yes, they are. I am called to be an ensample to you. That's very true. Did you realize you're supposed to live as holy a life as I am? You do know that your testimony is supposed to be as pure as mine is. I fully understand that if I lose my testimony, I hurt me, I hurt my family, I hurt you, I hurt the ministry. What you may not realize is that what you do with your anger and your temperament and your character and the ruts that you get in and your prayerlessness and whatever else you can think to name, got news for you. You are supposed to be just as sanctified as I am. Boy, it got quiet in there. That's kind of strange, isn't it? I had a guy one time at work while I was still working, and I kept getting invited by the boys to the bar. Of course, I refused to go. So This guy was a Christian. He would go to the bar with them and sit and explain to them why Brother Stevens, Kyle, wouldn't go to the bar with him. He's a pastor. He has to set an example for his flock. So he can't go to the bar with you lest his flock follow him to the bar. Meanwhile, this Christian guy is going and sitting and having a beer with his lost buddies at a bar, trying to explain to them why Pastor Stevens wouldn't go to the bar with them. You know what that is, right? That is hypocrisy. That is what ruins ministries. That is what ruins the testimony of the body of Christ. Because I got news for you. You are called to be just as holy as I'm called to be holy. You are just as much a priest as Brother Grissom or Brother Dave or anybody else that holds an official position. Like I said, it got kind of quiet in here, but that's okay. There are lifelong Bible-believing Baptists that at a unguarded moment will still fall back on the clergy-laity thing. And the reason why they do that is because they want the latitude to do something that the pastor doesn't. My point in saying all this, folks, is you have an obligation to not be straitened by yourself. If you are confined, if you feel like you haven't grown, look, you're called to be enlarged, and your testimony is supposed to grow as well as the rest of your life. You're supposed to grow in your testimony. God expects your behavior to be just as sanct and holy as mine or Brother Grissom's or my wife's or Mrs. Grissom or Brother Darling and Mrs. Darling. Thank you, you're welcome. But it's really true. You're supposed to grow in your testimony, that the ministry be not blamed. It's a testimony. Okay, besides that, this is where it got really interesting for me. Not that what went before wasn't interesting, but what follows here in verse 4, in the context of not being straitened in us, but being straightened in your own bowels, so you're to be also enlarged, you need to grow. Paul had to grow, so you grow too. Well, first of all, there's the testimony thing, but notice verse 4 and what follows that is, of course, what we know is a long list of stuff. But in all things, verse 4, proving ourselves as the ministers of God, notice in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, imprisonments, tumults, labors, watchings, fastings. In all those that I just read, there's a little two-letter word that precedes each of those things. That little word is in, right? You're supposed to be enlarged in these things, in much patience. Now, let me talk about in for a second. You're supposed to be enlarged. You're supposed to get bigger. You're supposed to grow. You're supposed to get better, correct? Your testimony, all right? You have to grow. You have to be enlarged in these things. Now, as I read those things, very many of those things are nothing that you can do anything about. For instance, the first thing says, in much patience, I am supposed to approve myself as you are, as the ministers of God, in much patience. Now, what's going to happen is you're going to wait on God just like everybody else. There's one thing that I've learned. I've learned that I cannot push God's agenda forward faster. I cannot make God answer prayer faster. I don't get my health back any faster by wanting it to be so as opposed to God blessing it to be so. My point is, in saying all this, I'm to be enlarged in much patience. You're going to have to be enlarged in patience. Now, you have no choice about whether you're going to be forced to wait or not. Right? It says, notice, much patience. You're going to wait on God until God does something with what you're doing, whether you like it or not. You can impatiently be patient. You can be spastically impatient, or you can patiently be patient. But I tell you what you're going to do. You're going to wait. Have you not learned that? Have you not learned that there are things you just cannot say, okay, I'm going to grow this week. And by the end of the week, boy, you can tell how much you grew. It takes more time than that. It takes more time to grow, it takes more time to get prayers answered. My point is, you're going to have to be enlarged, not only in your testimony, you're going to have to be enlarged in some things, okay? in some things that you can't help. For instance, not only in much patience, but in afflictions. Most of us would walk a country mile to avoid afflictions if we could. Afflictions are no fun. I got news for you. Whether you like it or not, you don't have too much of a choice about many of the afflictions that you suffer. You think I pulled out the card and said, "Oh boy, today I want to have a stroke." Right? Then you get to choose it. But I had to be enlarged in the affliction. This was not an elective for me. I was given the affliction and had to learn or else not learn in the affliction. You're called to be enlarged in some things. Those things are not electives. You're not going to get a chance to choose whether you do or you don't. You're going to get put in that position. And if you're going to grow, if you're going to be enlarged, if you're not going to be straightened and confined, you're going to have to grow in that thing or not grow at all. Isn't this pleasant? Notice, in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God in verse 4, in much patience, in afflictions. How about in necessities? Necessities presents us something. When most people say, "I need this," they don't really need it. When my kid says, "We really need some ice cream," well, he didn't mean that it's an absolute necessity. Right? Where's your sense of humor tonight? Necessities are things that you legitimately need, right? Well, if I'm to grow in necessities, that means the Lord is going to put me in positions at times where I have genuine need of something. I don't know. Obviously, I need air. I need food and water over a few days' period of time or whatever. But you may well wind up in a spot somewhere where for a while you suffer the lack of some necessity. Maybe you don't have to have it in the next 5 minutes to live. But if God doesn't do something for you in the next 6 months, you're going to have some real suffering to do because you need this thing. This indicates, folks, that the Lord puts us in positions sometimes where we have genuine need for something. Maybe you have need for money to pay your taxes or to pay your bills, and the day the bill comes due, you don't have the money. Now look, I believe that my God shall supply all my need according to His riches in Christ Jesus, right? I believe that, and I believe that God supplies necessities and wants. I'm just saying there's going to be some times where it sure seems to you like you may well have been forsaken because you do legitimately need a job. You do legitimately need money. You do legitimately need a car tomorrow or else you're going to not go to work and you're going to lose your job, that sort of thing. Maybe God puts you in a position where you have to grow, be enlarged, not be straightened in necessities. He's going to leave you in necessity long enough for you, to show you and prove to you that He can provide for you. But you're called to be enlarged in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities. How about in distresses? What have you been distressed about? Life can be pretty stressful sometimes. I'm not sure that that's distress. Now look, if you find yourself hanging over a precipice by the root of a mesquite tree, and if you let go, you're going to fall off into the crevasse and die, well, by all means, hang on tight and try to climb over the lip. Okay? I'm not saying just sit there and give up. But I am saying that there are going to be distresses you find yourself in life where it's not a happy place. It is not fun. And when we start talking about distresses like that, look, all you want is out. Right? I mean, when it gets down to it, if you're placed in a situation where you are in genuine distress, genuine fear, genuine danger, genuine legitimate necessitous need, what you're praying is, "God, get me out. God, get me out fast," in fact. And the fact of the matter is, you know what you're called to do? You're called to be enlarged in distresses. In other words, it's not just getting out of the distress that needs to be your focus. It's you growing, being enlarged in the distress. I've learned, for my own part, by the time you add, you know, I'm a minister, a father, a husband, and a friend, and various other things, and there are times in my year that I wake up at night going, I don't know if I can handle this, because I've got stuff going on at church, people, problems, that sort of thing. And then Joseph is a real handful, so I got to lay awake at night and think about him a lot. And Anna's been a really big problem for a lot of years. So, I mean, but seriously, folks, you get sometimes in life where you wake up at night and go, kind of have a little panic attack because there's so much that needs to happen. Seems like nothing's happening. There's so much that needs to be done. And it's kind of a stressful, distressing situation. I have learned that still in my worst distress, many times I cannot hurry things up. I cannot make this monkey jump off my back. I have to wait things through. I am called to be enlarged in distresses, not out of distresses. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm saying you don't get to choose many of these things. You're going to have to be enlarged in those things. God gives you those things for you to be enlarged in, to grow in. And maybe He just keeps giving them back to you until you are enlarged in them. But the distresses are part of it. Nobody likes to need. Nobody likes travail. Nobody likes turmoil, tumult. Nobody likes distresses. But sometimes the Lord just keeps piling this thing on, just a repetitive more, because you are not straightened in us. You're straightened in your own bowels. And for some reason, you're not being enlarged in the distress. It's not just getting out of the distress that matters. It's being enlarged in the distress. You've got to grow in the distress. Look again, I'll speed up a little. Verse 5. In stripes and imprisonments. I can only think of those Thompson boys that went to jail down in Austin for spanking that kid. And again, they made a mistake and all that. The fact of the matter is you have two young 20s, American, saved, separated, Baptist, Bible-believing men that went to prison. So I forget their exact terms. One was for 12 years, one was for 8 years or something like that. Both have young families, all that, young wives. They both have to go to prison. They were placed in a situation. Granted, in this case, if they had been smart, they would have kept themselves out of the situation. But made the mistake, now they have to pay. Those guys have now been in prison for like 10 years, right? They are to be enlarged in imprisonments, in stripes. One of those guys has written now 2 books. The book's pretty good. He is, I mean, it's an extraordinary thing. You just imagine, by one simple mistake that you make, not even that bad a mistake, but you kind of get rolled over by the justice system, and you wind up losing, essentially, for the next 10 years, 12 years of your life, your wife, your young children, whatever material you've managed to gather around you for a regular, normal, fruitful life. You get to lose all that, walk away, not have fellowship with your wife or your children for the next 10 years. By the time you get out of prison, your kids are going to be teenagers. You will have missed when they were 2, 4, 6, and 8. They're going to be teenagers. Boy, I could see laying in a prison bed getting bitter about that. As far as I can tell, those guys were enlarged in the distress. And that's what I'm talking about. Sometimes we get in trouble. We only want out of trouble. We want God to deliver us from our distresses, our tumults. We want to be delivered so that we can go on about our lives. After all, it is about us. After all, it is all about making sure that we get all we can out of life. God came that we might have life and might have it more abundantly. My abundant life is being interrupted. And I want out of my tumult, I want out of my distress, I want out of my worry, and I want out of my necessities because it's interrupting me. And you're called to be enlarged and not be straitened in those things. Notice verse 5, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults. Sometimes life can get downright exciting. Tumults. I don't like tumult. I like boring. I like my Mondays to be boring. I don't like excitement on Mondays, especially tumult. Verse 5, in labors. Labors aren't always very exciting. Labors are sometimes very mundane. You're called to be enlarged in day by day, week by week, same old mundane, monotonous service. Week in, week out, month in, month out, perhaps year in, year out. You're called to be enlarged in those things. Not necessarily through those things and not without those things, not being delivered from those things, but being enlarged in those things. In watchings, there's patience again. Sometimes you just sit around, it seems like spiritually, on a chair like the thinker, only you have clothes on, and you're sitting just watching, and just watch and watch. Watch and pray for months on end. Sometimes it seems like nothing happens. And you say, is God doing anything at all? That depends. Depends on if you're being enlarged in the watchings. Right? In watchings, in fastings. Then there's a change in verse 6 because you go from in things to by things. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, etc. So, he says, be ye also enlarged. Back in verse 3 and 4, by growing in your testimony. Your testimony is growing. By, rather, in some things. Things that are not elective. Things that are not necessarily voluntary. Things that you get, waters you get cast in, that the Lord doesn't just reach down and snatch you out like He snatched Peter out. He wants you to go through those things. You're to grow. You're to be enlarged in those things. But then He switches to, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, and so on. So now it's by some things. Now, as far as I can tell, the by some things is not the same as in some things. After all, there's a different word there. But as far as I can tell, by some things is elective. It is voluntary on your part. For instance, in verse 6, plainly the context of the Scripture, you're called to be enlarged. You're called to give no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. You're supposed to approve yourselves as ministers of God in some things, but also by some things, by pureness. Now, you know what? You can be cast into tumult. You can be cast into trial. And throughout that trial, you can fidget and pace and murmur and simmer and basically complain and curse God throughout the entire process till one day you get some relief. If that's the case, you have not been enlarged by pureness. It is your choice whether you go through this tumult, distress, necessity, or whatever. It is your choice. It's not your choice whether you go through it. It is your choice how you go through it. And by pureness is one of the ways you're supposed to go through it. You are enlarged by pureness. When you are in trial, when you are going through something to you harsh, you're called to still go through it purely, without murmuring, without complaining, without losing your temper. How about without using another brother or sister as an excuse for your discontentment? Right? You're called to be enlarged by pureness. Choosing purity will help you to be enlarged. Choosing purity will help you to grow. How about the next one? By pureness, by knowledge. Okay, my people is destroyed for lack of knowledge. You will largely control whether you exit this mortal life knowing God better than you entered it. Because it'll depend upon largely how much you apply yourself to the knowledge of God. Right? You're called to be enlarged by knowledge. I mean, Brother Grissom preached this morning on that whole defeat thing, and I wasn't sure where he was going at first with that. First thing you do is run, like David did, but I understand what he's saying now. Would you ever stop to think about a message like that? You ever stop to think that somebody had to learn that lesson to be able to preach that message? What do you think that's all about? Brother Grissom may very well know something about the Lord and going through something that I don't know because I haven't been down the same road. I imagine I know something about recovering from a stroke or maybe even why you suffer a stroke as opposed to some of you because you haven't, right? So by going through that, I learned some things. I gained knowledge by some things. I got news for you. I'm called to be enlarged by pureness, by knowledge. These things are elective. You can be cast into a trial and throughout the entire course of the trial remain as stupid as you are today. And then when the next one rolls around, you'll probably make the very same mistakes over and over again. Right? You're called to be enlarged by pureness, by knowledge. How about long suffering? By long suffering, verse 6. Now, as far as I can tell, everybody is going to suffer some. However, long suffering is an attribute. It's not a description of how long you suffer. Long suffering is an attribute of character. And you will not determine how long in time you suffer. You will determine whether you go through it with long suffering. Right? By long suffering. You choose. It's your prerogative whether you go through something with long suffering or stamping your feet and sticking your hands in your pocket and storming around and murmuring under your breath and simmering and being mad at God half the time and blaming the brethren for what you're going through instead of going through it with long suffering. You're to be enlarged by long suffering. I know it's a long list, so I'll keep moving. Verse 6, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness. I hate that one. By the Holy Ghost. Did not Paul and Stephen talk about how somebody doth always resist the Holy Ghost? I believe you can resist the Holy Ghost. I believe the Lord thrusts you into situations that you cannot control them. And you're in those things. You're supposed to be enlarged in those things. But you're supposed to be enlarged by pureness, by long-suffering, by the Holy Ghost. If you're not careful, you will grieve the Holy Ghost, you will resist the Holy Ghost, and you will not get out of that situation what you're supposed to get. I think it was Brother Darling mentioned it this morning, but do you ever think back sitting in a church like this for all the years you've sat here? Because I do. I mean, I've heard some great preaching in our services, not just our guys, but Brother Keck comes through, Brother Peacock, all those guys. I wonder sometimes how many lessons I've missed sitting right over there listening to those guys preach, and then I do nothing about it. Right? You ever think about that? You ever think about your responsibility for what you've heard here through the years? Look, you're called to be enlarged by some things. And among those things are by the Holy Ghost. And you, again, will largely control what you carry out of a trial, out of a temptation or trouble, out of a tumult. You will largely control what the Holy Ghost was able to accomplish with you. Okay? You won't be able to control whether you went through it or not. You'll be able to control whether you get the right thing out of it. Notice, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost. How about by love unfeigned? I mean, not this fraudulent facade thing where you get up and you're going through a trial and you get up and you cry some tears and tell everybody how much you love Jesus in spite of all you're going through. but secretly at home, you're frankly mad at God for putting you through this. And you're always going, why me, why me, why me? Okay, that's feigned love. Right? How about going through it by unfeigned love? You love God, whether He's afflicting you, allowing you affliction, or whether you're in perfect tranquility. You love Him anyway, doesn't matter. How about unfeigned love? You choose whether you do that. Notice, furthermore, by the word of truth. By love unfeigned, by the word of truth. He says, look, you're not straitened by us. You're not confined by us. You resent these lessons. You are fighting the bit. You're not straitened by us. You're straitened by your own bowels. I wonder how many brethren you know that when confronted, when they go through something, they actually do depart from the words of truth. We've experienced some of that here in past months, last couple years. That's a sad thing to see where somebody was 5-10 years ago and where they are tonight. Don't think that can't be you. Because the Lord's going to put you in a situation, perhaps just like some of those men and women and children were put in, and you're not going to be able to choose sometimes whether you are put in that pool. You do get to choose how you go through that. And you're to go through that by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, yes, but by the word of truth. And there are folks that when put under stress and under pressure, they will at every turn walk away from the precepts of God that they've learned for the last 20 years and do it some other way because it's easier. There's less resistance that way. But boy, just wait for the fruit to come about. By the word of truth. How about by the power of God? I mean, if the power of God is the gospel, the preached gospel, the word of God, then it seems to me that when you're going through things, you need to turn yourself to that preaching, to that word of God, and spend your time laboring in the Bible. If there's power in prayer, pray. If there's power in fasting, fast. If there's power in waiting on God patiently, then, brother, wait on God patiently. But you have to go through those things by those things. You don't get to choose if you go through it. You get to choose how you go through it, by these things. Notice it says, by the word of truth, verse 7, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness. How many times do you see somebody get put under pressure and then they just don't do right? There's no armament in not doing right. By the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor. I mean, sometimes you get put in a position where you do the right thing and somebody comes along, slaps you on the back and says, good job, I appreciate seeing you do the right thing. And then sometimes you go try to do the right thing. You witness to a parent or a family member or whatever, and for the next 10 years, your name is mud for offending Aunt Maybelle. Okay? By honor or dishonor. You're going to go through stuff, but you need to be enlarged not only in things, but by things. By both honor and dishonor. It's hard to accept dishonor sometimes. I'm a proud guy. I don't like to be disrespected. I don't like to be bad-mouthed. I don't like to be lied about. I don't like folks to say things that aren't true about me, because I'm a nice guy. But, you know, sometimes you're called to go through something and you're enlarged not only by being complimented and patted on the behind and encouraged and caressed and patted, but you're also called to go through it and to be enlarged by dishonor, by somebody calling you names that aren't true, saying that you do things with your children that aren't true. You're just brainwashing your kids. Right? I mean, you're mistreating your kids because you don't want them dress up for Halloween. It's stupidity. But you're going to go through some stuff like that, and you will choose whether you are enlarged by those things or not. Look at one more by here. By honor, by dishonor, by evil report, and good report. It'd be nice if, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Once in a while, that happens. I'm glad for that. I've known lost guys that saw my testimony clearly and complimented me on it. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it. But I've known a lot more guys that didn't compliment me on my testimony. They hated me for what I was. Well, by good report, by evil report. You're called to grow through those things. Now notice, furthermore, from verse 4 and 5, all those were ends, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, and so on. Get down to verse 6, and then it's by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering. I view the end part as being something you can't control. It's not elective. It's not voluntary. You get down to verse 6, this is elective. This is how you go through it. It's, are you going to go through purely? Are you going to go through long-suffering? Are you going to go through these things the way you should? Or do you have more lessons to learn? Well, you get down to verse 8, the middle of the verse, and suddenly it changes again. And then it's as deceivers and yet true. It changes to as. So, you're not only called to be enlarged in your testimony. You need to grow in your testimony. You're enlarged in some things. You're enlarged by some things. And you're enlarged as some things. As deceivers. And yet true. The world thinks we're stupid. They think we're the deceivers. They believe their science. They believe their evolution. We say, no, God created, and God did not create Adam and Steve. And therefore, they think we're stupid, intolerant, and hateful because we're against sodomy. And then you can just go down the list. There's a thousand things. As deceivers, yet true. No matter what they say, you believe the book. You're on the right side, right? But we go through things as deceivers and yet true. They say we're deceivers and it hurts. I don't want to be known as a deceiver. I'd like for my neighbors to think of me as a upright, good man, but sometimes they don't because they know I'm a crackpot Bible believer who believes that God allows babies to be killed in floods, and I believe in a God, therefore, that put slavery in place at some times in the past, that sort of thing. And so I'm as the deceiver, but I'm not. I'm true. As deceivers, yet true. Notice it says something else. As unknown, yet well known. Nobody has put my name at the head of a parade, as far as I know. I'm not very well known, not supposed to be well known. I got news for you. You're not going to be well known unless you do something really stupid, and then you might be well known. You may have a public trial, but as unknown, yet well known. See, they don't know us. I know somebody that does. The Lord knows what you're doing. If you're doing right, if you've saved money to go to Mexico by working your fingers to the bone and scrimping and scratching and all that, the Lord knows. The Lord knows how much you fasted for revival, if you've fasted since. The Lord knows how much you pray, no matter what you say. You're not known, yet you're well known. Look furthermore down in verse 9. As dying, and behold, we live. Well, isn't that the truth? Here we are as Christians. We're called to die unto self. The world does not want to die into self. If there's anything the world is not interested in, it's dying to self. We're called to die to self. We, as dying, and behold, we live. When we die to ourselves, we have more joy. We have more peace. We have more power with God. As dying, yet behold, we live. Right? Look, furthermore, as chastened and not killed. I believe my stroke was chastening to a certain degree. I'm not going to tell you why. It's private. You wouldn't probably even understand. But I didn't pray enough. I wasn't sincere enough. I wasn't ardent enough. I was ministering to people in things that I didn't know because I hadn't been there. Sometimes the Lord has to put you through something so that you have credibility. Okay? Well, as chastened, but I'm not killed. I had a stroke. I had it laying in the hospital. My left side, I can't move it, but I'm not dead. Right? As dying, behold, we live. As chastened and not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. I mean, we look around and we're called to be sober. We do not take our soberness sometimes very deeply these days. But it's a sobering world you live in. Boy, I tell you what, you're watching the dark ages creep back the further we go. It's a dark world we live in. You have people that work around you. There are people within 5 feet of you every day that are on the brink of going to hell every day. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. I mean, we have a joy that they know nothing about, and it's easy for us to forget it. We get consumed by the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, the pleasures of this life. Those things enter in, choke the word. We're not terribly sorrowful anymore. We're taking joy in the things in this life that mean nothing. And it's not supposed to be that way. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. So, be ye also enlarged in your testimony. All right? You're a part of the ministry. When you mess up your testimony, you bring reproach to the ministry. So there's that. Then there is being enlarged in some things, by some things, as some things. By the way, there's another lesson here, verse 12. Mentioned it several times, so I'm not going to preach it very long. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Your confinement, your restriction. You feel restricted by the rules. You feel restricted by the legalism. You feel confined and closed in. You don't have victory. You're not getting prayers answered. Okay? Quit blaming your brother for your lack of victory. It's not his problem. It's your problem. You are not straitened in us. You're straitened in your own bowels. We all have battles to fight. There are battles among us that are fairly unique. There are folks that go through things that I haven't been through. I readily admit that. Okay? Has anybody else here had a stroke? Okay, I'm not trying to lift me up as an example, but okay, so I was kind of as far as having somebody standing by that had been there and done that. Nobody was. Okay, my point in saying that is simply the fact that I had to summon in my relationship with God the strength, the grace, and the mercy to go forward and recover. And not by somebody standing by patting me on the hand. And Marcy did that. She was an encouragement to me. Some of you, as friends, you're encouraging that way. My point in saying all this is everybody can't go through everything. There are things that you're going to go through that nobody necessarily in the same room with you is going through. And if you get feeling sorry for yourself, saying, nobody knows. If you're not careful, you wind up blaming somebody else for what you go through. I got news for you. If you're straitened and you're not enlarged, it's not my fault. And it's not her fault. And it's not his fault. It's your fault. I'm sorry. It is. And lastly, I'd like you to notice down following up, I said this passage is known to me. In my mind, it's cataloged away as a separation chapter because that's what follows in verses 14 through 18. But you need to be enlarged. Be ye also enlarged in verse 13 and going right on into be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You need to be enlarged in your testimony. You need to be enlarged in some things. You don't get to choose those things. You get to be enlarged by some things. You get to choose whether you're enlarged by those things. You get to choose, or rather, enlarged as some things. And fourthly, quit blaming somebody else. Quit blaming something else. If you're straightened and if you're not enlarged, it's your issue. And lastly, in separation. We are supposed to be separated from the world. I had a conversation with a guy, one of the Blazer dads, at the Ennis thing yesterday. Really nice guy. Goes to Open Door Church in Maple Grove. And kind of a quasi-mega church type thing. And we were talking. He said, you know, I get concerned sometimes because it seems like they curb the gospel. They take the edges off the gospel in order to attract more people. And I said, that's exactly it. I said, that's, you know, he said, so this all started with, how long have you been at the church you're at? I said, well, we actually, you know, I came up in 87. We started the church from scratch. Had a church split, but it's still the same church, still the, you know, same ministry. He said, oh, so you've been here for 25 years. Yeah, same, you know, same spot. And how big is your church? Well, you know, I don't know, 120 people, something like that. Oh, so it's not really big. No, it's not really big. And so we got off into that with the Open Door thing. And he readily admitted, he said, you know, I sometimes think we curb, you know, take the edges off the gospel more than we should. And I say, well, I don't know about your ministry, but I see that as an issue in Christianity today. I believe it's true. I believe it's right. And among those things, you know, everybody's building bridges back to the world instead of building walls between us and the world. I'm all for spanning the wall, trying to get somebody to come across to us, try to convert somebody to Christ. But as far as doing it their way, marketing the gospel their way, trying to draw them in with the flesh, I am not interested. We're supposed to be separate. We're supposed to do things different. We're supposed to think different. God does not think like them. I'm supposed to think like God. If I think like God, then I'm not thinking like them. I'm not marketing like them. I'm not approaching them the way they want to be approached. Separation. Be ye also enlarged. You should be enlarged. You should grow in separation. As the years go by and you get old and surly and curmudgeonly, you should grow more separated. You should. Well, it got quiet there too. Let's pray. Now, Father, we pray you'll help with somebody here tonight. We heard quite a bit this morning about things, and I appreciate that very much. Brother Grissom's message on the trouble and the defeat. Brother Darling's message on the heart. And we come to you tonight knowing that there are a lot of folks among us that have been through things. There are folks that are not here tonight that are going through a lot of things. I pray, Father, as we know the day darkens, as we go deeper and deeper into the latter times here, there's going to be lots of things perhaps that we will see that we have not seen yet. We need to fortify. We need to be prepared. And I pray you'd help us to get these simple things down. We're to be enlarged in some things, by some things, as some things. And Lord, we are, if we do not grow, it is not somebody else's fault. If we are straightened, if we are not enlarged, it is not a brother's fault. It is not a sister's fault. It is my own fault. I pray you'll help us, Lord, to see these things in our lives. Give us power and grace to do the right thing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed just a second. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here tonight. Perhaps, Lord, dealt with you about something here tonight. I'd like to offer you a chance to come to the altar, kind of in quasi-privacy, if you'd like to come now. We're called to be enlarged in some things, by some things, as some things. Let's look this way with number 389 in hand. 389. Pitching in, many of you at the house yesterday. Appreciate you being there. I will let you know tomorrow as soon as I know something about Brother Kehoe. Again, I'm not sure if he'll be having surgery now with that cold or not, but I'll let you know as soon as possible. In the meantime, let's be dismissed tonight. Brother Dave, would you dismiss us, please?
Heavenly Father, thank you for all the prayer today, and Lord, thank you for how you've been here. Just pray that you can go before us next week and help us draw closer to you. Lord, when trials come or in the midst of something, Father, help us be faithful and seek your face and to learn from it, not go bitter or anything like that. Lord, help us to draw closer to thee. And Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your love toward us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Good night, folks. Yes.
Can you speak with the Mexico people real quick?
Sure. Mexico people real quick in the teen class.